Welcome to Dig Deep, the mining podcast. In this podcast, we go deep into mining news, hot topics, and live interviews with mining professionals and leading figures in the mining industry. Introducing your host, Rob Tyson, founder and director of Mining International and Mining International Executive, a leading global mining recruitment and headhunting agency.
Hi, mining community. Welcome back to another episode of the Dig Deep, the Mining Podcast. And today's guest is Eric Dasoni, who's the president and CEO of Nouvelle-Monde Graphite, otherwise known as NMG, who are striving to become a key contributor to the sustainable energy revolution as they're working towards developing a fully integrated source of carbon-neutral battery anode material in Quebec, Canada. For the growing lithium-ion and fuel cell markets. A geologist by trade, Eric specialises in geophysics and integrated 3D modelling before joining the team back in 2011. He's going to talk about, obviously, about the company and what they're doing. He's also going to talk about the role of Canadian miners in the North American energy transition. Also, how the company was obviously established in sustainable supply of domestic graphite to companies like General Motors and Panasonic, and also why the future of North American mining is promising, as more and more companies are looking to offshore rather than import, onshore rather than import and offshore, as more environmental regulations and trade tariffs are put in place. So that's welcome, Eric, to the podcast. How are you doing, Eric?
Thanks, Rob, for having me today.
Yeah, appreciate your time as well. So I wonder if you can just tell us a little bit about your background. Obviously, I mentioned you were a geologist by trade, obviously before joining NMG. So I wonder if you just walk us through your career to obviously from when you graduated to where you are today.
Yeah, you'll see it's pretty simple. Huh? So I started a company in 2011 when I was 32 years old. After working about 5 years in geophysics. So I studied my geophysics in Paris at a time mainly for oil and gas exploration. And then I came back in Eastern Canada and there's not much oil and gas exploration. So I recycled my geophysics expertise into mining. So I started my own geophysical company doing airborne surveys here on the East Coast. And then in 2011, that's where like the Tesla were starting to, it was a name that people started to understand. And they wanted to build the largest gigafactory that mankind ever built with Panasonic, our partner now today. But the idea was just, geophysics can find graphite. It's a very direct exploration technique for us. So we just started a company on this principle. So after I sold my geophysical companies, and I just started gradually to work full-time in NMG, and every year since then, since 12 years, it's fantastic and bring more challenges. And I say 12, it's now 13 years, yeah, since 2011. Mm-hmm. So it's been a great ride, and I'm looking forward to bringing the project into production in the near future, and that's every year it's different. It's not like a typical mining project. It's really... every year, you need to do something more on the product. You need to qualify it with customer. You need to understand what they do with your product. It's an active material essential to the function itself of electrochemistry in the battery. So very fascinating.
Yeah. So what made you decide to move into the battery space back in 2011?
So as I've mentioned, Nouveau Monde stands for New World. So the idea was to explore new territories. Untapped territories around the only currently producing graphite asset in North America is located maybe 20 minutes airtime from my home here going north. So I was testing our geophysical system on that mine that was operated by Imerys, a French conglomerate. And I knew at the time that Imerys were running out of ore a little bit. The mine now will be shut down since 2 years it should be shut down. So the idea was to start the next graphite operation. And the idea initially was just let's discover a big deposit using geophysics, the thing I know the best, and raise some money with the Quebec institutions that really enjoyed the technical idea behind finding this graphite deposit. And that along the once we discovered the deposit, 2014, 2015, we realized it's not that easy. So we went to IMRIS, and then they wanted the project more advanced, and they decided to go in Namibia, acquired an asset. So we realized that after a while, we needed to develop it ourselves. And it just became more and more interesting when we hired people from IMRIS who knows how to build a flotation circuit. Then we hired people from Asia. They know how to transform the product into the anode material itself. So year after year, we just built a company, and now we're 120 employees, and we've invested $200 million in the project, and we are where we are because of the market. We cannot really produce a flake concentrate and sell it in China. We cannot only produce a transformation asset to transform a product. We need both. We need the mining asset, and we need the transformation capabilities to make the full vertical here in North America. That's what the customer wanted. That's what the investors wanted to invest in. So now it makes a lot of sense, but it needed to be, we needed to convince ourselves along the way, like since 13 years, that it was the right strategy. But now, you know, with GM and Panasonic becoming two of our largest shareholder, I guess the strategy is right.
So I just wonder if you can just tell us a little bit more about the company. And obviously, the company's been running for 12, 13 years now. I wonder if you can just give us a snapshot of how obviously you developed the company to where it is today, and I suppose the makeup of the company.
Yeah, so exactly. So we went from zero, so employee number one, and then we had a geologist, Tony, that has the name on the deposit after exploring about 20 different showings, 20 different targets we discovered with geophysics. Tony discovered in 2015 the main asset that we have, the Matawinie mine. So that's located 2 hours north of Montreal. It's fully permitted. Construction started. So this is impending the completion of the project financing in the upcoming few quarters. We'll be able to complete, like, it's a $500 million project, the mine itself, and it will produce just north of 100,000 ton of concentrate. So that's the most advanced asset. And then we acquired in 2019, we were the first to acquire a land in the industrial park of Bécancour, which is, it's now named the Battery Valley of North America, where GM POSCO is building a cathode plant, Ford EcoPro with SK building another cathode plant. We have Nemaska with Livent building an hydroxide facility out of their mine in Wabushi, the lithium mine. And we were the first there. We bought our land like $1.5 million in 2019, and it's worth maybe 50 now, because everybody want to be close to hydroelectricity, close to all the reagents you need, straight on the rail car. So that's the Bécancour battery material plant. So it's about an hour, 30 minutes northeast of Montreal, on the shore of the St. Lawrence River. So about 2 hours from the mine site, it makes kind of a triangle. And that's where most of the concentrate from the mine, the Matawinie mine, will be transformed into anode material. And that's what we announced with Panasonic and GM, both of them together, like each of them 18,000 ton per annum. But both of them together represent 85% of our future production. And that project is about $1 billion. So 1.5 total to build a full vertical to serve maybe 500,000 EV per year, 85% going to Panasonic and GM. And then recently, the third asset, we acquired our closest competitor asset, the Mason Graphite Laguerre deposit that was developed by Mason Graphite in the last 10 years. And the last few years, they realized that the project was a bit too small for the new needs of the battery market. So now we're developing the market, the project 10 times bigger. Instead of 50,000 ton per annum concentrate, we're developing it to be 500,000 ton per annum, which is on paper the largest graphite project in the world, including China, Africa, anywhere, Mars. It's the biggest graphite project developed for the future market. And this is important because they need that. They need that capacity. So they need, if they are investing in our phase two today to serve 500,000 EV, you know, they will need at some point to have access to something that will serve 2.5 million EV, five times the size of our current phase two. So that this is what we're doing. So that's our three assets, all located in Quebec. In Quebec, in Canada, we're not good at everything, but at graphite, we have the right geology, we have the right infrastructure with hydroelectricity and a chlorine supply right across the street from us. We need chlorine for purification, and we have the expertise with a lot of research center who developed this product in the past and have expertise in battery. And now we have the customer right at the doorstep who wants this product in the US and also in Canada. There's a fuel cell plant now getting built in Canada as well. But the demand is so massive in the US, and the opportunity is great for us to take the most market share possible in a very niche market that needs to become way bigger in the future.
Obviously, you mentioned China. How are you entering the Chinese domestic market with your obviously product?
I'm competing with them, which is a challenge.
Okay.
We're not planning to sell anything in China. They have enough graphite. So they have 2/3 of the world production of concentrate in China, and they have 100%, or if you consider our 2000 ton facility to be something, maybe they have 99.9 something. So, but then we have a competitor also in the US, in Louisiana, starting a plant now, but almost all the anode material, natural graphite, is currently produced in China. So it's a big opportunity for us, but at the same time, it's a challenge because they keep a product at a very low price. And what we need to convince our customer is what is the real price of using this product in North America. So this is the benchmark. We have easy logistics, we have just-in-time delivery for them. We have the geopolitical risk that they need to have an alternative, that's for sure. And we provide a carbon neutral product. So this is important. All electric, carbon neutral. This is what we do at NMG.
And those that are listening and not necessarily familiar with graphite, what's the importance of graphite in the battery supply chain? And what are the market perspectives of graphite?
Yeah, historically, as I've mentioned, we are producing at the Imerys mine maximum 15,000 ton per annum. So 15,000, very tiny amount of concentrate is produced historically in North America, and no transformation for anode material. Now that we need this specific graphite anode material for the active material. So the lithium ion goes on the anode side and need to intercalate with the graphite, and that's where the magic occurs, and it requires a lot of qualification. We have a very highly engineered and very specific product to produce for customers. They all have their different criteria, different specification, different qualification process, and it represents about, I like to say, 1 kilogram of graphite per kilowatt hour of battery capacity. So if you have a Tesla, I'm pointing in my parking, obviously. So I have a Tesla here, 100 kilowatt hour. It's about 100 kilogram of graphite, so 0.1 ton per car. So it's quite significant. So if you add up all the capacity that Panasonic want to build in the US, LG want to build with their different customers, GM is one, but they have also other customer. And you add up SK, what they're doing with Ford, we will require altogether about 1.5 million ton of that anode material product. And now what we're building is 42,000, and it's the largest and most advanced. So, it's easy to see that in the near future, if you want to go to produce millions of EV in North America, we'll need like a lot of graphite capacity. So that's what we want to provide the North American market. It's a very specialized company in this very specific and important product for customers. It's not that much the mining that is the challenge. It's only 1/3 of the cost, 1/3 of the CapEx and the OpEx. It's the 2/3 and also the expertise. We have about 10 PhDs, 40 engineers in the companies, and we understand the customer needs, what they require, why they need this high quality product. So this is what we want to provide with all the advantage we have here in Quebec on this to be competitive with China. So low cost hydro, access to great geology, a great de deposit, and all the advantages that we're providing. We need to specialize ourselves to be successful altogether to make this EV transition a success.
And obviously, you've mentioned that you secured Panasonic Energy and GM as customers. What were the key factors in securing these multi-year agreements?
Yeah, the key factor was to, I would say the number one key factor was to have invested already about few hundred million dollar, maybe 200 CAD, Canadian dollar, into developing our project where it is today. So we've invested into demonstration plants. So we have a phase one plant that is fully integrated from the mine, from the all the mine, the tailings. We have mined so far 40,000 tons of ore in a flotation circuit, manage the tailings properly to receive all our needed permits to get going, but also developing a transformation facility to give them ton scale samples that are manufactured in the same equipments that will be that we will be build the phase two commercial phase into. So it's very important, because if we give them only samples coming from a lab, it's difficult to demonstrate your ability to make it in a commercial plant. We need to compete with very established suppliers in China. We need to demonstrate that we know what we're doing. We need to add the right staff. So that's why we're 120. So when those customers come in our facility, they see that we are very advanced. We are the most advanced outside China to demonstrating this ability to make the right product for them. They cannot take a bet very blindly. It's a very important product for them. They cannot switch supplier easily in their plant. Typically, they do sole supplier per line. So they need to make sure they make a bet on a company that provide all the advantages possible. So vertically integrated, all here in Canada, carbon neutral, all located in the back, at the doorstep of their facility. So all those advantages, but we're still a startup. so that's why we needed to have tick all those boxes and have be the less startup possible by having invested enough in the phase one. And so that's the only, I would say, the only reason we were able to get those large customers to commit and put their name out there and come with their resource as well. It's not only financial resource. We have tons of meeting with their technical team at GM, technical team at Panasonic, to make sure we reduce the cost as much as possible. We understand each other needs, and we are together successful. So the amount of resources needed by Panasonic at GM, it needs to be worth it in your business strategy, yeah, that you want to provide them.
How was those initial conversations you had with those companies? And did you approach them? Did they approach you?
Yeah, it's funny. That's a good question. So 2017, I was going there, like in China. I was doing the rotation, China, Korea, Japan. And then I was meeting all the relevant anode transformer, because in China, the market was segmented. Some people were producing the concentrate. Some others were doing another step, and some other were doing the last step. So and one company was successful at doing all the steps, which is BTR New Material in China. And now they are the leading anode supplier, and they have three or four graphite mines, and they do all the way the full vertical integration. So that's really what we did. But that wasn't our first choice. Our first choice as a developer, as a miner, was to go in Asia and have a partner doing the transformation. But our market was too small to attract them, because all the market was in Asia a few years ago. It's a very new thing that Tesla has pushed hard enough all the others to develop this big boom that we have in the US now. And so since 2017, I was going in Asia trying to find partners. We announced some partnership also, if you look our old press release from 2017. But then at some point I said, oh, you know what, we will do it ourselves. We won't be able to sell this concentrate in China and be competitive with the Chinese miners, with the African miners. So we need to transform it ourselves. So we raise money with investors. We built our own capacity. And that's what today the customers like. It's the fact we have developed the whole process. We're not reinventing the wheel. It's just they know the product they want. The process is not very complicated, but we develop our own expertise to do it internally by hiring people in Asia and doing the right process. So now we're at a step where we don't need much partner in the anode space, and we can directly sell to OEMs and cell maker without any intermediary. So we can be like successful as much as new as BTR new material is successful in China. However, they cannot export their business model because no jurisdiction will sell them strategic minerals. So they cannot own a deposit here. So we have this advantage of having the two largest and most advanced graphite deposit in North America with the Matawinie mine and the Lac Guéret Watnan project we acquired recently. So if you want to come in North America, you need to own your deposit and build a process. So now we're very well organized and very well positioned to take the most market share possible in a very important market for the future of this EV transition.
In terms of your relationship with both Panasonic and GM, what kind of, I suppose, influence do they have on your maybe day-to-day operations or even your strategic outlook?
Yeah, I mean, part of the agreement recently is having them as a board member as well. And part of the whole thing is they bring their expertise to make the project the most attractive as possible. They both have different skill set, I would say. Obviously, they're not working together, so they're not directly competing. The GM has other cell maker, but it's not directly competing with Panasonic that has other OEM customer. So it was a kind of a good fit to have those two customers that are not directly talking to each other, but both provide very important skill set. Panasonic is more on the technical aspect of the graphite, what it does in the battery, and they are really, in my mind, the top expert in making batteries. They have no recall on their battery. They work with Tesla since a long time, and I think they have established themselves as a leading lithium-ion manufacturer. So they are very helpful with their engineers, making sure we do the right product night and day, and we have the right QAQC protocol. We have the right, you know, Japanese guys and mindset in quality. So this is very important. And then GM bring their project expertise. So they have a lot of project buying power for steel, for a lot of their cables and how to build a project very successfully in North America. So both together, they bring expertise for a junior company that is quite important. We have hired top project builder, don't get me wrong. We believe we have the best team, but it's never enough to make sure that a $1.5 billion project gets built on time and on budget and provide the right quality as soon as possible. Because both those customers have no time to waste. Once we boot the plant, they need the product ASAP to fit in their plant, and they cannot be sitting it idle in their plant. They need to receive this product at a very specific time. So there's no delay in their manufacturing of lithium-ion batteries. No, it's very important for them. So they get involved and they want to make sure it's happening.
Last question around GM and Panasonic. Do they, and I ask this question, and I get asked, I ask this question quite often. Do they understand mining? Do these OEMs understand mining? And if they don't, how long is it before they actually understand the mining industry in terms of the long process and turnaround to actually get the material out of the ground into their hands?
Yeah. Bluntly, I would say no, they don't understand mining. And what they start to understand more is the transformation. And it's already a big step for them because typically they don't get involved in the manufacturing of anode material itself. They buy it from China. So I think the first natural step for them is to understand from the concentrate all the way to the finished anode material. So this, they are getting better, but what's happening, where the concentrate comes from, they're not at this level yet, like crushing the rock flotation. Obviously we invited them and they understand, you know, as anybody and any smart person would understand it, but I don't think they, at this point in time, they quite grasp the level of risk and the level of long-term mindset you need to have into mining. But they hire consultants that provide them with reports, and you know, they have the right reflex, I would say. They can hire the right consultants, so those guys understand mining. They come and they make a report to them, And you see, they want to understand it. It goes to the top C level of those organizations, and they understand that they don't understand. They rely with somebody, but it's not quite yet. Like, they don't have full expertise in mining yet. They maybe have one or two guy that can advise C level, and that's it. But it's not like they will run a mine in the near future. That won't happen for now. Yeah.
And I suppose it's a gradual process, and it's a gradual learning process. And I suppose, like anything in mining, it does take a long time for anything to happen in mining. And I suppose from their perspective, it's just understand. I suppose the main thing is like the time frames and obviously risk and capital intensive business up front. And again, are they slowly getting to get to grips with that?
And they're so busy on everything. Like, it's a big transition to go from an ICE car to electric car. So in terms of priorities, where mining sits, as long as they have a mine that's getting built and they receive the raw material out of it, that's good enough. But it's not where the price sensitivity sits the most. Even like graphite overall is about, I would say, 8% of the cost of the battery. So mining within the 8% is about a third of that. And even if you do it right or wrong, you'll get, you know, so what's really the impact of being good at mining for those OEMs? It's as long as they invest in the right project and they trust the team, as they will trust us now building this. I don't think that there's a big benefit for OEMs to run mines or to be themselves very good at running mining. They just need to be good at the. At some point, it will be the large miners who will do that. So at some point, once we have a billion of EBITDA, it starts to move the needle for the big guys in mining. These guys will come and they will consolidate the strategic mineral market. You saw they started to do some move on lithium recently, the large miners. But more and more, they will go in other material like graphite once it's big enough and interesting enough for them to do it. I see more those guys going in mining. It's more natural than the OEMs themselves running mines, you know.
Obviously, the company is advancing its all-electric mining in an open pit format or content. How feasible is that? And I wonder if you can just talk about the CapEx and OpEx. And obviously the energy to obviously run a fully open pit operation and obviously the energy used for that.
Yeah. So what we did, like in the feasibility, the first feasibility we did on the mine was in 2018, and we did the feasibility all electric. So we demonstrated and nobody wanted to work with us at the time. Like, we were just a very small project at the time. And also, it was too early for the EV transition for the large OEM in the mining equipments to get interested at the time. But so we demonstrated ourselves by converting some piece of equipment that it could be economic because we're connected to hydroelectricity. Like, right at the mine site, we have hydros. We don't need to build our own energy source. And that energy source is carbon neutral and very affordable at around 4 cents US all in. So, I mean, for us, it was like a dollar for 4 quarter. It was kind of same economics between ICE mine compared all electric open pit, because it's a small open pit as well. We're moving maybe 8,000 tons of material per day. It's not very big. And we have the size of our mining truck is 60 to 65 tonners. So it's not that big. It's construction truck more than mining truck. So at the time, it's where we were. And then we were always talking to all OEMs until we saw that Caterpillar were really getting serious into providing a full solution to us. Not only the equipments itself, but all the equipments, all the charging station, because it's great to have the hydro power, but we need to have the charging station deployed perfectly on site, and also providing the business solution. So they call it job site solution. So now it's clear we have the best partner out there, and our goal was never to be the only open pit electric mining operation. It was to have the most electric operation out there, so all together we can learn from each other, and it goes all electric for everyone. So having Caterpillar as a partner is the ideal scenario for us. So they provide all those things. We are kind of demonstration site for a full solution like that. And we have great traction, and I cannot release all the details that I know on their timeline for each piece of equipment. But what I can tell you is from the top with Jim and with Denise, and I have a very regular meeting with the CEO and president of Caterpillar, and they are really committed to make this a success, not only for us, but to demonstrate to all their customers that Caterpillar is well positioned for the future of mining for some specific project where it works, so like us. So some people have access to an energy source of quality, so it makes sense for some project, and some others other alternative works like fuel cells. So they also work on fuel cells, so we will deploy both fuel cell battery powered and diesel powered and compare which one is behaving the best in certain conditions. So it's a very exciting, and I was not imagining something that good for the future of electric mining, working with the best company in the world to achieve this. You know, it's way better than ourselves trying to convert the truck. That's not something we really wanted to do. You know?
As North America and Europe accelerate their efforts to secure some critical minerals and battery manufacturing, what would you say the challenges are for Western economies? And obviously, with those challenges, what opportunities could there be for you?
What we do really is to make the product. So where the cell is going after, we need to care less. I mean, but there's two big markets. So the EV and all the different equipments and different mobile application. I would say even a bike, electric bike is interesting, but also energy storage. Energy storage is very important, a very big market as well. And even those two markets, you see more and more specialization into the chemistry and the type of battery that will go in these different markets. So obviously we need to monitor where natural graphite will play the biggest role going forward in the future versus alternative to natural graphite. However, if Panasonic want to use their battery for Tesla, or Panasonic want to use their battery to go in a container and power storage, as long as they pay their invoice, I'll be okay. So I need to care more about the strategy of our customers and then where the finish application will be. However, yeah, in some specific market like power storage, graphite plays an important role. So we need to cheer for that. And also where I would say the high-end application has more opportunity for us as a North American producer compared to the bike, electric bike, for instance, that will be manufactured for a long time in China and will receive those bikes in a container. So I won't sell in China my graphite. So I need to target high-end customer like Panasonic, like GM, who want this product and believe in the onshoring and the difficult task of building a local supply chain.
And lastly, what's the outlook for the sort of next 6 to 12 months for Novelmond Graphite as a company, as you move the obviously business forward?
Now it's clearly the path to FID. So it's a large project, it's a major project, and not only one, but two, a big mine and a big transformation plant. So now we have all the stakeholders around the table. So what we're doing, following the agreements we did with them, is we update our feasibility study based on the specification and the volumes of the customer product. We need to update our project and optimize the cost of the project to provide before year end a full project package to all stakeholders that we are in discussion in the last 2 years to provide the debt financing and the equity needed to start construction next year. So this really, this is the only big milestones that we are working on. We have a lot of other stuff that we're doing, but the most important one is to deliver an FID as soon as possible for our stakeholders. All interest is there. All government are very supportive. Canadian government, Quebec government, and also the governments of our off-takers, the governments where we procure some of our equipments to build those projects. So everyone is around the table, want to be supportive. It's just to bring everything together so we can close this 1.5 billion plus project financing to build the project as soon as possible. So this is the big milestone.
Eric, really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on to the podcast and sharing your story, talking about obviously NMG and what the future holds for the company, and especially the relationships with GM and Panasonic as well. And I think that's pretty interesting as well. And hopefully there'll be other companies out there that will have similar agreements, obviously with other minerals that are needed for the green revolution and for batteries. If our audience wants to reach out to you, if they want to follow your story and follow the company's progress, how can they go about doing that? And what social media channels are you on?
Yeah, so we are nmg.com. I think all the different interviews and stuff we do is on nmg.com. And also we're listed in the NYSE main board on it's NMG. And in Canada, it's NOU for the Canadian listener.
Okay. We'll include those in the show notes accompanying this for easy access. So wish you well for the remainder of the year. Perhaps you can come on next year and give us an update on how the project's developing.
Absolutely, Rob. Hopefully we'll be right into the construction. Yes.
Yeah. Wish you all the best of luck for that. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. As always, appreciate your continued support. Please keep sharing these episodes far and wide. This episode, I think, highlights why certain minerals are needed, especially graphite, but the relationship between some of the OEMs like Panasonic and GM, maybe they are getting to understand what the mining industry, obviously at a slow pace, but it's good that they are listening to us and engaging mining companies for the future of their raw materials to help them obviously produce various batteries and obviously for the green revolution. So thanks for listening. And until next time, happy mining.
Thank you for listening. Remember to reach out to Rob via the show notes and be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Until next time, happy mining, helping each other to improve the mining industry.